This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's start with what annoys you at work. Everybody's got a story, right?
Not me.
Everybody has a story. I'm just going to go with one that may apply. You know,
bunch of horse manure.
Yes.
That's horse manure.
I'm against horse manure.
Manure.
When you do your job and you have to let the boss know about it, what is the point of that other than just kissing up and showing, trying to tell the world how great I am? Isn't the point supposed to be, Adam, you do your job well, and you recognize for it as opposed to, hey, it's me, look at how good I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then you send it to your respective boss. 0 to 10, how much?
10. Does it annoy me?
Yes. 10. I'm with you, brother. 10.
At the same time, I will say, too, it is nice if you do your job and you do it well every day.
Exactly.
To get a little recognition.
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what? You're doing a hell of a job.
We've been doing this for 8 years. One of these days, we'll get one of those. You know, if we stay another 30 more years, we might get that.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, maybe not.
This is welcome to the basement.
Wouldn't that require us to actually do the job well first?
Yes, they would have to. Is the reluctance to join us in the basement? Is that the point? But I'm going to say not every place, but as close to every place in America has that, Kyle, where you have certain people. And maybe they're good on a regular basis, or maybe they're not, or maybe it's insecurity. I don't know, but it's, hey, I just want to send this. And
I don't know.
And then sometimes it's a CC to the boss,
right?
Too, right? That's
yeah, CCing the boss on something else. I don't know anyone that does that here, but that seems like that'd be something super annoying if you were just like, hey, this person did a really great job, and I also did all these amazing things. I don't know is that a function of email? Because I was just thinking of like 1500, we didn't have that at all. Maybe they were happening behind closed doors.
I didn't say I was talking about it here. I was just talking.
I'm just saying.
I was talking hypothetically, right,
you
Adam?
You said it happens everywhere, and I'm going with the last job I had.
Yeah.
Now, they might have gone into the boss in closed door meetings,
right?
And you just didn't know about it, right?
Yes.
So is it the function of email that has made it more visible?
Lindsay, I think it is because you're then letting other people know that you're going to the boss to tell the boss how brilliant you are. Versus you just go on your own and you do it and then we don't know.
Yeah, and then there's the whole blind CC. When you blind CC your boss or you blind CC someone onto an email so that they can see it. It's just, it's office politics are because of technology.
Sure.
Have just changed so much. I mean, even since I joined the workforce,
yeah.
And that was pretty much, we always had the internet, but we weren't as reliant. The whole idea of the formal email has gone out the window.
Yeah.
If I need to know something and I need to ask Lindsay Peterson, who's, our program director, I just send him the email. I don't go, hi, Lindsay.
Yeah.
I just go, this is my question. Please, it's like a text message.
Right, you're right. I mean, it's office politics has been around, Adam, forever. It's the different ways with the different technology to do that. I blame you. I don't know why. I haven't figured it out, but I think it's your fault.
I'll take the heat.
Yes.
There's someone that used to work in this building who no longer works here.
Okay.
Who used to text message me
Canna?
About work stuff, and it made me really uncomfortable.
Charlie Boone.
It was both. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
No, but it was...
Wait, somebody who used to work here, not work you.
Hey, oh, hey.
My mom
hey.
Is listening. If
enough about my
clean.
Dreams. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we've got another Adam.
I'm well aware.
Yes.
I've been
warned. So they don't work here anymore, but while they worked here, they were texting you?
And they would text me about work stuff. And it was kind of awkward because we had never established that relationship that, like, I was okay with texting.
Yeah.
And the best would be instead of just calling me or emailing me, I'd get a text. It was just weird.
People are nuts. They're sick.
Yeah. How do you do that, Adam, if it's somebody that you work in the same place, but you really don't have that close of a relationship, but then professionally they've moved beyond, like Lindsay's example, all of a sudden you're communicating ways that's just, why are we doing this? I mean, I suppose at some point you can say, stop, but why are you put in that position in the first place?
I don't know.
Once again, I blame you.
Okay.
What other parts of work annoys you? This is kind of dark side. This is quasi dark side. We'll play the liner.
Well, and considering that there's probably a lot of people who are working today while their coworkers have taken a long weekend, I'm sure the angst is just building right about now.
Although I don't blame, if you got the day, use the day, right? If you want to make this into a little,
I don't begrudge anybody.
I don't fault the day off. Now, folks who use sick days as their vacation days, that would
be annoying if that happens.
Oh, I just can't imagine it does. Among the texts coming in, parts of work that annoy you. It's a good text.
Lindsay, having to work? Does that count?
Having to work does.
Like when John calls me, he's like, could you book this guest for me? God, that's so annoying.
Carter, could you at the spry young age of 42, could you literally say at the end of our show, it's over, it's been a good run, I have enough money, town hall... Talk? What's the other?
Wow.
And what's...
It's called Town Square Television.
Town Square Television.
I'm the host of Insight 7, a weekly magazine show.
I don't live in South St. Paul so far. I don't have it. Okay. What's it called again?
Town Square Television.
Town Square
Television. Serving the communities of... Seven communities of Southeast Metro.
Town Square
Northern
Television.
Northern Dakota County.
Okay, enough. Town Square Television has been paying you so much money. I mean, you don't need to work anymore.
They actually give you decent raises. It's like, wow, what a concept.
Yeah, wait. Wow. Maybe... Closed circuit. Entercom.
Yeah, we love you. We love
you. New situation. Could you stop working and just be good? So you don't work. You go on your walks. You go to BWs. You go to golfing. You do whatever you want.
If I were financially sound,
yes.
Do I think if I could walk away from a career?
Today's your last day ever working.
Wow. That's a good question. I've pondered it often.
Yep.
I think I'd be good.
You think you could? Kyle, could
you? Absolutely.
Absolutely. Lindsay, could you do it?
No chance.
Dan, could you do it?
Easily.
No
travel.
Chance.
No. So much stuff that you could do out there with your time if money wasn't an object.
Travel.
So many different
fishing,
things you could do.
But I
World of Warcraft?
Yeah, no.
Welcome to the basement.
Yeah.
I just have...
You're the youngest.
I like goals. I have goals, and I have a lot of career goals.
Yeah, but
I think
if you had money, you wouldn't need goals.
But there's a part. I couldn't do it either.
Yeah, I have goals to see the world. I mean, I would not.
I would not
stay in one spot.
Would I like greater flexibility? Certainly, but I still like the idea that there's a professional drive and a reason to get up that day, other than. Am I playing Oakmont today or Cypress Point or Augusta? Now, I wouldn't mind that for the first few years. I really wouldn't. And you're right. There's amazing places to see.
There are so many arguments on Reddit that I would finally have the time to go tell people how they're wrong, like on the Doctor Who forum or the Star Wars forum.
I mean,
Good Lord.
The number of texts you would be
have
sending
here.
Have you
been with a woman ever?
Bridget's calling in and saying,
nope.
No, not really. Also, a text about work. Lindsay, Sid has agreed not to email or text you again. He apologizes.
According to Lacey, I'm getting invited over for ice cream sometime soon.
Really?
Yes. I've been invited over.
He loves his ice cream.
Yes, this is what I've been told.
Especially when there's coupons at Target Field.
Well,
my favorite part about it is Lacey, who's one of his nurses that he calls Lance.
Lancey. He's now on to Lancey. Larissa, their sisters.
Mrs. L.
Mrs. L.
That's great.
Mrs. L. These are better than most of his nicknames for people through kind of the prime, the edgier my father's day. It's normally Mr. and Mrs. It starts with an A and you go from there.
So my favorite part about being invited over for ice cream is Lancey always invites me when I see her on my run. It'll be like mid-run, and I'll wave and stop and say hi. And she's like, do you want to come in for some ice cream? Yeah. I'm like, ah, not at this exact moment.
See, and for me, talking about goals and motivation, I would then do that. You know, I mean, Adam, isn't that a perfect excuse? Oh, I've run enough. Wait, can you say what kind of ice cream? Is that inappropriate to say? Well, I mean, if it's just vanilla, not sure. But I mean, if, you know, I get chocolate chip cookie dough or something like that.
Well, I do that when I'm offered pie usually because it's a very narrow scope of pie that I like.
You're so wrong on that, too. Oh, yeah, we better turn the lights on. Best pies quickly around the room. Number one.
Banana cream.
Lindsay?
Pecan.
Yep.
Pumpkin.
Dan?
French silk.
Pecan. That's the answer. Everybody else is wrong. Colin Covert on movies in approximately 10 minutes. Later, a very good guest, Ebony Rulin, on the headline story, the play story in the Trib. Statewide crime hits 50-year low. Wow, that's fantastic news. My father taped a conversation with him. We'll play that in the 2 o'clock hour. I always encourage you, if you have the time, and I greatly appreciate it if you do, you can podcast our show at any time, wcco.com/Chad. Lindsay and Dan do a great job getting the podcast up very quickly, and you can listen to the entire show. You can speed through it, whatever you would like. I bring that up because we felt like we had two excellent guests yesterday in Paul Schaefer and Jimmy Butler. Extended conversations with both of them in the 12 o'clock hour. And I bring up Jimmy Butler again because the headline yesterday involving Jimmy Butler, Adam Carter, was, what was the number one takeaway?
That he gave his cell phone number out.
That's it. He was responding to Joe Cowley, he's a very good reporter for the Sun-Times, about criticism. And he basically said, you know what? Bring it on. You want to have a conversation? Here's my number. And I forget what the number is. Did you write the number down?
I did not.
Did you? Lindsay, did you write it down if we want to get a hold of him?
No, I'm sure we can find it.
Yeah.
I do know that it started with 773.
Yeah, that's a Chicagoland area code.
I had an ex-boyfriend with that first start, so it stood out.
Uh-oh.
Just wanted to make sure it wasn't Jimmy Butler's number.
You were dating Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. How long? I am so old to be dating Jimmy Butler. Like, bless your heart, but no.
He's 3 years different than you.
Isn't he like in his early 20s?
27.
27. He's about to turn 28.
Well, in the...
He's back in play now.
He's back in play.
What was that number?
He is pretty funny.
And he's good looking. Yeah.
I became a Timberwolves fan a little bit stronger yesterday after his interview.
Yeah. So he gives the number out. It didn't work out so well for Michael Byrne. Michael lives in Evanston, Illinois. It turns out Michael's phone number, Adam,
ooh,
is one digit different from Jim Butler. Can we start calling him James Butler, Jim Butler, just to stand out a little bit?
What about J-Balls?
I don't want to talk about your problems on the air. I mean, we can get into that later. Jimmy Buckets, he's gone. Well, yep. You know. So Jim Butler gave out his number. Michael Byrne says this. At first, my phone was going off a bunch. And when I checked it right away, I already had 37 missed calls. I got calls from Arkansas, Florida, New York City, and all over the country. I got voicemails, text messages. So this is a story. The latest update was just recently, okay? As of now, Michael has received 100 voicemails and 150 texts since Butler shared the phone. And apparently, he reached out to the Timberwolves. What are they supposed to do? Sign him? I mean, what?
Well, who follows through and leaves a voicemail?
Well, I don't know. If you get Jimmy Butler's number, Dan, if
yeah, but if it's the voicemails, hey, this is Craig Stevenson.
But a lot of people don't do that. You mocked me because I don't do it either. I just give the phone number, right?
Oh, you mean you leave the automated, yeah.
Yeah, you've reached out. Yeah. Oh, what are you rolling?
I'm too big to have my... I don't want people to know it's me.
No, okay. I just...
Okay, hot shot. I see how you operate.
Hot shot. Dan, when you think hotshot. I think
Chad Hartman.
Who's pretty much too lazy to leave a message. Because that was it. That was basically, whew. You know what it is, Adam? I'm so busy with my time. I didn't have the 11 seconds to say, because let's be honest, is it really that different? You've reached Chad Hartman, not available, leave a message. Versus, you know, my number is...
Yes, because you're not...
6513...
Because if you give someone
you
your number...
that number, by the way? 3-1...
I mean, if you give someone the number and you're not very familiar with them, you call that and you get the automated, you're not sure. Because if I get that number, I always say, if this is... I'm looking for Chad Hartman, if this is Chad...
I like to live with uncertainty. I like to live on the edge. You know? Yeah. Lindsay... Bad, annoying, or nothing if someone just goes to their number. You've reached, 612, whatever.
If you're someone who is expecting a lot of phone calls, it's obnoxious. Like, for instance, if it's a guest or it's someone who's kind of rather important and I'm trying to find out if I'm actually contacting you, if it said your name, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you don't know if you're calling the right number, if it's an old number. I mean, you go into like our database of phone numbers,
yep.
And there are like, go to like a former governor and there'll be like 18 different numbers.
Yep.
You don't know which one to call.
I don't want to interact with people on the phone. That's basically it. Yeah, maybe that's it. What should Michael Byrne receive? What should his compensation be?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing, right?
I mean, yes.
Should
tough luck, dude. Sorry.
How about this? How about if Jimmy?
He might have been getting nude photos from women.
Where do we get to that leap? Okay, how do we get to that?
You don't
think
there were some women out there who said, "Hey, Jimmy Butler's cell phone"?
No, he showed him FaceTiming with people on the plane. I guarantee you, there was a lot of young ladies dialing in.
I believe in women. I think they have depth. I think they have intellect. I think they have relationships.
They can also want a little something.
You're
something
basically
than Jimmy
saying
Butler.
All women are gold diggers. Just
said.
Go ahead
that's
and say.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dan,
what I said.
Was that the clear inference that once a number was out there, there's my chance?
Do we have a sounder yet for what is he on or what are you on?
What is he on? Have we talked to Remy yet? Yeah, we need to get that. Because now here's what we have when it should be Dara talking about herself as a bozo.
What is that?
It's on Mishki's old one, and it's Smash 2. Hold on. The next one is Smash 3. I don't know. Was that
sounds like a whip.
Was that involved in the pictures that somebody might have sent Jimmy Butler? I don't know. I think Jimmy should call Michael and just have some fun with it and say, hey, it might work out for Michael. He might get something out of this.
Well, Jimmy's the right number.
Come on.
Yep. it's done. That was a short-lived experiment.
That was unavoidable. 29 past 12. Traffic, weather, news, and Colin Covert on movies when we return. When Lindsay was talking to Colin earlier today about coming on the air, Colin Covert, he said, I will, under one condition, you must play a little Vanilla Ice when I come on the show, or I will never, ever come on again. We fulfilled that requirement.
The soundtrack of my life.
he's been in town a few times. I think he played a halftime, Wolves, maybe he did before. Wasn't he involved?
Isn't it funny? Every time he was in town, I was washing my hair that night.
Yeah, you were
Isn't
busy.
Yeah,
you were busy. He called you. He wanted you to come out, and you just were stubborn and would not.
You're a connected guy. Do you have any U2 tickets?
I've got 10. I'm going to be giving out later, just outside the studio. That's how much. You're talking to another person who's going to make attempts to get U2 tickets. I've had a chance to see him a few times. And I think they're fantastic.
The nice thing about U2 is you don't have to be in the stadium to hear them. You can be blocks away.
Well, that is the thing. And that's when I last saw them at TCF Bank, when it was the postponed concert. Then it was the concert, Colin, where it poured. And if you go to TCF Bank, you can gather outside for a while. Now, in this case, you're at US Bank, the bigger bank. I don't know. I wonder how it does sound just outside if you just want to.
I think they're going to make it vibrate. They're going to, like, you know.
Well, we've got enough outdoor venues right now. Do you have a Do you have a particular place in town when you're inclined to see music where you like to go?
You know, I'm going to sound really boring, but the place that I go most often is the Dakota. I like that kind of stuff.
Dakota is fantastic.
Know, big, you know, big time tickets. You know, there's I spend my money on other things, basically. But you know, in terms of buying U2, you know, records, absolutely, I will do that.
Yeah, we.
I'd love to see him. I'd love to see him live. I think that'd be fantastic.
Oh, they are. They're amazing. We're very lucky in this in many areas about the arts, the entertainment options we have, including just even if you pick a weekend like this weekend and say, you know what? I don't know this. I don't know these two or three acts, but just give it a try and go out and about and try some of the fun places in town. It's well worth it.
The other place I like is the Ice House. I think they do really good programming there.
So I agree.
You know, there's a lot of stuff that you can do without, you know, busting the busting the bank. So a lot of fun, but also movies.
And Ice House, by the way, pretty good food too. So it's a combination. Okay, do we finally now have a stretch of really good adult movies to see in the middle of the summer?
Yeah, and you don't even have to be an adult. I've because I'm taking a month's vacation and like pre-writing things, reviews on things that aren't going to open for weeks, and I'm seeing so much stuff that I really like, and it's such a relief. It's such a relief. The Baby Driver is opened on Wednesday, and
yes.
I just love that movie to pieces. The nice thing about being a film reviewer is you get to see things before the hype is out there. You see it when nobody else has seen it.
Right.
I saw that. I turned to my friends and I said, mark my words, this is going to be 100% positive on Rotten Tomatoes. And other than, I think there's one guy who always disagrees with everybody because it's in his contract.
But right.
Everybody's nuts about this. It's just so creative and funny. And it's you know, if you like musicals, you'll love this. If you love crime stories, you'll like this. If you like to laugh, you'll love it. It's got everything for everybody. And it's just beautifully put together. It's just amazing. But there's more coming. You're right. It's a great season because, you know, the Apes movie is really, really good, which is not a surprise because the other Apes movies were really good. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to drop the ball the third time. You knew that was really good, but you can go with high expectations. You won't be disappointed at all. And Spider-Man, which I just saw, holy mackerel. I'm not going to review it, you know, until I do it in print the day it opens on the 7th. But, you know, nobody's going to feel like they wasted money on this one. It is slam bang.
Which Spider-Man are we on right now, and how many have we had?
We have had, if I'm counting this right, we've had five since he was reborn in 2002, something like that. And this is Spider-Man 3.0.
Okay,
he's the third actor to play it. And he's excellently good. It recasts him as the young high schooler, Peter Parker, and the wonderful actor who plays him, Tom Holland. You know, he's 21, but he definitely can pass for 15. And it's such a cute, you know, young, it's like a youth comedy action movie. And it's just such a delicious blend of you know, ingredients. It works really well. So yes, the that's my long answer to your short question. Yes, this is a really good time to be going. You're not going to waste a lot of money over the next few weeks.
Okay, I want to circle back to Baby Driver because the talk about it, where it's South by Southwest, intrigued me. The occasional clips, and then I value your opinion so much. So I saw your review. I'm very intrigued. We have some absolute heavyweight names in it. But tell me about the lead and how he plays in this movie.
Alf, help me pronounce it. Alf.
Is it Ansel?
Ansel Elgort?
I think that's right. I was going to ask you, so you're going to the wrong guy here. We'll look it up
anyway,
real quick.
This guy.
A.E., we call him. We're tight. A.E.,
We'll call him A.E. We're that close. He's great. I did not know before talking with him. He gave me a nice nice interview to go along with the film, and gave me all kinds of background on his creative life, which I did not know, and younger and smarter people than me, of which there are a few, probably knew this, but he has a pretty good music career, you know, singer-songwriter stuff, and he has been very popular as an in-demand DJ. So he understands music, and he is perfectly cast, therefore, in this role, because it's entirely about moving to the beat. And he is just delightful, as are all the big stars. I mean, you've got Kevin Spacey, you've got John Hamm, you've got Jamie Foxx, John Bernthal is in there. You know, pretty big names, and all of them are bringing their total A game to these parts, you know, and they're not necessarily the biggest parts in the world, but each one of them comes alive in its own, you know, unique way. And they're all funny and they're all scary, and it adds up just beautifully. I mean, you'd think it sounds like, you know, it's like a chalk and cheese kind of thing. You know, there's no way that these are going to work together, but they do work together. And the genius of the film is the way that the director, Edgar Wright, uses music. He doesn't add a soundtrack to the scene. It is like, you know, I haven't seen movies where the movement was choreographed to the sound in this way since, like, West Side Story. And this is like a wild, you know, high-speed chase movie with lots of robberies and things like that. And, you know, there's a fair amount of bloodshed. It's not gory, but there, you know, people get shot. When you get shot, you bleed. Stuff like that happens. But it's all done in this amazing way of every beat and every moment and every cut and everything that you see on screen is precisely calibrated to the beat of some perfect piece of music. And it's breathtaking. It's certainly going to win the Oscar for best editing and maybe best sound design, because it's just so good. It's not your standard soundtrack at all. It's got like 35, you know, really interesting sort of like back catalog music hits from the 60s, the 80s, the 90s.
Are they mainly songs we have not heard before, or are there some recognizable pieces of music?
It's both. Okay. It's both. I mean, it's really got music for everybody. I mean, if you don't like if you haven't paid much attention to jazz, there's a little jazz in there that'll make you curious, you know. It goes right up to Paul Simon. So, you know, it covers a lot of ground. But it all makes sense in terms of the action scenes, which is incredible.
Colin Covert is with us. We're talking movies. You read his outstanding work on a regular basis, Star Tribune. You certainly can follow him on Twitter, at Colin Covert. Tell me about The Beguiled. And I want to start with it this way. Nicole Kidman. What do we say about her career and the excellence she continues to produce and what she has done over... what are we talking now? 20, 25 years? And to me, it seems like she's as good now as she's ever been.
You know, I look at her and I look at her ex, Tom Cruise, and I think, who's got the better career? And, you know, by my lights, she has a vastly better career. I mean, he may make more money, you know, around the globe, maybe. But is there anybody who consistently, year after year, keeps coming up with this great stuff? I mean, maybe Naomi Watts. You know, but they're pals, right? I mean, they're not even in competition. They're just kind of, you know, applauding when each one, you know, crosses the finish line with a win. And I mean, she's amazing, and she can be funny, and she can be everything. I mean, she can play she recently played a parent, I believe, in Lion, if I'm remembering this right.
Yep.
She was just terribly touching.
Mm-hmm.
And here in The Beguiled, she plays this very complicated character. She's the headmistress of an all-girls academy in the latter days of the Civil War. They have a wounded Union soldier brought to them, and they are all rebels. And they're not sure what to do with this fellow, but they're good Christian impulses, don't you know, make them want to heal him and bring him back. And she is, you know, all these different things at once, because, you know, she feels that, you know, she has a proper obligation to the well-being of this man. But also, it's been a long time since she's seen a guy, and it's been an even longer time since she's seen a guy as good looking as Colin Farrell. So she starts to be moved by this a little bit in her subtle implied ways, as are all the other six people in the in her school. And Colin Farrell's character begins to take advantage of the fact that he's got it pretty good in here. You know, he's not in the middle of the war anymore, and all these, you know, lovely ladies are here, and, you know, he starts to flirt with them to win their favor. And the way that she handles it is so good, because she goes from being, you know, sort of quite smitten with this guy right across an emotional rainbow. And where she winds up at the end is really scary. And you know she can be really scary.
Oh,
but
yeah.
To do that without grinding the gears is a gift. And she's able to do it because she's one of those ones. She's got those incredibly expressive eyes where she can be smiling, but what you see in her eyes is ice, you know? And yeah, she really brings it all to this performance. It's real, real good.
I think her range is amazing. I really do. Okay, another one here. Two last movies. Tell me about The Big Sick, because
you know,
some rom-coms can work. They can be formulaic. They can be awful. They can be atrocious.
Yes.
But then
when
we try a little different pattern, they're ones that truly can resonate. Why did this one for you?
Why did this one for me? I think because it started out as recounting the experience of people that it really happens to. They didn't make up a story about this. They adapted their real life story, which was weird on its own, and found the comedy in it. So it has a kind of a, it's got a, like a, an honest connection to what happens in life and how complicated it is, and how, you know, if they were just writing a romantic comedy, they'd say, okay, we can fix all, you know, we can fix all these problems by adding some comedy. But here they know that you don't fix every problem in life with a laugh. So it has a kind of a, an authenticity to it that is rare in a romantic comedy. I mean, it almost never occurs in a romantic comedy. They're, you know, they're make-believe, and that's fine. And there's a fair amount of make-believe in this, too. It's fiction, but it's based on their life experiences. So the man and woman who now are married, whose experiences are reflected here, one of them is a Pakistani, I believe he's Pakistani-born, currently American citizen, who was a stand-up comic and has gone on to some degree of fame on TV. This is his first starring role, and he's playing himself very, very well. And, well, okay, what's hard about that? What's hard about that is that this is kind of a coming-to-America story where coming-to-America is really hard, you know? And it's not just hard in the sense that you get there and not everybody's nice to you. That's not the deal. The deal is you get there, but your family grew up in an entirely different culture, you know, with entirely different values than mainstream America. And you know what? Maybe you like those mainstream values better than the ones that you were raised with. And then what do you do? And then what if you fall in love with somebody, you know, who has that as her entire life story, how do you make that work? So it's very, very thoughtful. And I have not seen a film that would pose as many interesting questions about Muslim life in America as this one. It's really something to think about. And it's funny as hell too. I mean, it's funny and moving and a little bit scary at times because it's all about a woman's health crisis. And, you know, anybody who's spent time in a hospital hoping that somebody feels better knows what that's like. And in this movie, you do that. And there are laughs in the hospital, but you're still in the hospital. So there's a lot to chew on with this one. And I really liked it. To me, it brought to mind another one that I thought did a good job of unifying comedy and real life in terms of romance. And that's Dean, this movie that was made by Dimitri Martin. I think it still might be in theaters, and if it's not, be sure to rent it as soon as you can. Dean, D-E-A-N.
Okay.
Which is also about a guy who's sort of having a romantic crisis because in his life there are some real problems. In this case, his mother recently died, and, you know, he's trying to cope with that, as is his father. So I see a movement towards things that are sort of less, you know, pretend, less cartoony, you know, less, you know, and they live happily ever after kind of things. It's more like, you know, they had this experience, and then they lived, and then they had to keep working at it, you know, and sometimes it was funny, and sometimes it wasn't. I mean, to me, that's life.
About 60 seconds or so, sometimes animated movies, which have already made literally billions of dollars, when they keep going, they run out of steam. Despicable Me, still going strong, or it's on fumes?
You'd have to ask somebody who thought it was worth going to see it, because that's not me.
Yeah, you just didn't, you want to know part?
You know, 24 hours in the day.
Fairly stated. Enjoy your sabbatical.
Thank you. I'll talk to you in August.
Fantastic. Thank you, Colin. Colin Colvert, great as always. And I mean, Dan, I'm genuinely excited for all three of those movies. I'm going to listen to that one. I was just talking with Carla the other day about how much I love good soul food. But I don't know enough of the options here in town. Lindsay, you're a foodie. Do you know enough of the good soul food places here in town?
I don't. I mean, does Revival count as soul food?
No.
No?
No, not, I mean, parts, but not completely.
Brasa? Some of the stuff at Brasa's got to be soul food.
It's got a little bit. I mean, both have a little bit, but more of it where that's like the restaurant's emphasis and just traveling with the wolves and, you know, sometimes finding places, advice. It was just a reminder. My experience with it was not non-existent, but it was limited, and just getting a chance to try some of the better places around the country, I loved it.
Are you cross-promoting right now because you know what's on Dara's show?
We just played the promo.
Sorry.
You're listening. Lindsay's listening to something, and then we just – that's what I was – that's what
gotcha.
I was reacting.
So
Lindsay's actually listening to
Common.
Judd and Phil kind of finish up their show, and I think Suchi Boy came in to give a tease.
How do I listen to that? Can I plug in?
I'm here. I'm kind of listening.
No, but they're on at 11 tomorrow. She's got a great show lined up for tomorrow. So
yep. Yeah, that's she was talking about that. So that kind of caused me to get in the conversation. Check out Dara tomorrow. She's excellent.
Ramping up holiday travel, I'm Adam Carter. That and more at 108 on WCCO and KMNBFM HD2 Minneapolis, St. Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.